Welcome to Soundprint. I'm Larry Massett, but I might have been somebody else in a previous life. You too. That is according to the doctrine of reincarnation. It sounds pretty good, but have you ever thought about the question of homicide? If we all keep getting reborn over and over, how can a person, or for that matter a pig or a dog, be made dead? You can't do it. You can only send them on to the next round. I've heard that in cultures where people take reincarnation for a fact, abortion is not the hot issue that it is with us. It is thought to be very sad for the parents, but for the unborn, well, perhaps not a total disaster, only a missed opportunity, try again later. We, of course, most of us here in the West, think that when you die you go to heaven or some place, or maybe you just disappear. In any case, it's once. And once only on Earth, one strike and you're out, that's it. What are the consequences of this viewpoint? Producer Martha Honey brings us a story from Mexico.
Laura works as a receptionist in a community health project. All day long she handles the telephones, typing, and other people's problems. In a quiet back office, Laura seeks some privacy while she tells her story. She talks frankly and asks that her real name not be used. When she was just 20, Laura became pregnant. She and her boyfriend were not planning to get married. They had little money, and Laura hoped to continue her studies.
Yo quería, una parte de mí quería tener al bebé, otra parte me decía que no era el momento adecuado porque todavía habían muchas cosas.
One part of me wanted a baby, the other said no. This is not the moment because of many things. This is a small town, and everyone knows one another. We wanted privacy for our problem, so we went to the public library and talked to friends, and they gave us the address of a doctor who could do an abortion.
For 2 days, Laura and her boyfriend debated, and finally decided to go ahead.
Era una clínica pequeña, recuerdo mucho cómo era la clínica.
It was a small clinic. I remember well how it was. When we saw our doctor, a woman, she knew I was scared. She told us that it was against the law, that we should not talk with anyone. She gave us a paper which said I was already bleeding and had some pain, and that if anything happened, it was not their responsibility. We signed it. I was afraid because I wasn't sure what was going to happen, what they were going to do. They held my arms and told me to be calm. They gave me anesthesia. When I awoke, I was crying. After this, I felt very sad. It was something which took me years to get over.
Laura could not confide in her friends or family for several years. Then she got pregnant again and decided to have this baby. At that point, she says, she could not keep the secret of the abortion to herself any longer.
One day I talked with all my sisters. They said it was bad. I had broken the law. I said I have a different way of thinking than you. If I'm going to take the responsibility to have children, I have to have the capacity to educate them or not have them. They said a child is always blessed by God. I said yes. But we have to struggle for them also. We can't just have them and then forget about them. It's a different way of thinking.
It's Sunday afternoon, and Mexico City's main park is crowded with families, street vendors, and musicians. Among the crowd is Maria, who works as a domestic servant and lives just outside Mexico City. She is neatly, almost stylishly dressed. Her voice is soft, and she's nervous. She, too, has a story to tell. Maria grew up in a rural village, one of 10 children. She says that she was taught nothing about contraceptives or family planning.
In truth, I was ignorant. Women always said that as many children as God gave me, I'll have.
Maria married when she was just 18. A year later, her husband died of a heart attack. And over the years, two other men walked out on her after she became pregnant.
I was hoping to remake my life, and so I accepted those relationships, but they didn't work out. Now I have three girls, and I live alone with them.
About 4 years ago, Maria discovered that, once again, she was pregnant. For the first time, she decided to try to have an abortion.
I really did not want to do it, but I realized that given our economic situation, I couldn't have any more children. I knew that my daughters and other people would say that I had failed again. I took some pills, and my friend recommended an injection, which she said would cause an abortion, but it did not do anything for me. So I went to another friend who recommended a doctor. He was very nice. He told me that it wouldn't hurt and that I was going to feel relieved afterwards. But I just felt terrible. I felt bad both physically and emotionally. It was sort of like a part of me, a possible child, that I still feel bad about.
If the church were to say that women could get abortions, would this make it easier to feel all right about it?
Yes, I believe so. I think I would feel less guilty for having the abortion.
And were you able to talk with anybody else about the abortion?
No.
With no one. No one. I didn't talk with anyone about this.
Laura and Maria have felt isolated, but they are hardly alone. According to a 1994 study by the Alan Guttmacher Institute, two-thirds of Mexican women between the ages of 15 and 44 do not use any contraceptives. So unwanted pregnancies are commonplace. The study estimates that more than 500,000 Mexican women have illegal abortions each year. Laura and Maria are actually among the lucky ones. They were treated by doctors and suffered no long-term physical scars. Thousands of Mexican women are not so lucky. Carmen Trujillo is a midwife in Mexico City. She's been working in maternity clinics for about 10 years. She says poor women are usually forced to use traditional or crude methods, often with terrible consequences.
They may take different kinds of teas. They may insert wires or bottles in their vagina. They may take some medications that could be very dangerous for them. They'll carry heavy things. They'll do excessive exercise. Sometimes they'll throw themselves down the stairs to produce an abortion. Sometimes it works, in the sense that sometimes an incomplete abortion is provoked, or perhaps the fetus is damaged but continues to grow, or may die. And the woman could get infected. She could have hemorrhaging, burns, she could be poisoned. She could have a perforation of the vagina, the uterus, the intestine, of the bladder, lots of complications.
Along this street of single-story row houses on the edge of one of Mexico's main cities is a private abortion clinic. But passers-by would not know it. The small sign in the window says, Family Practice. The blinds are shut, the front door is locked, and it has a two-way mirror in the center. Inside, there's a desk, a hospital table, and a doctor. He talks frankly, but he asks that his name not be used. He's nervous, frenetic, and he keeps peering through the blinds, checking the street outside.
I've been here 8 years. I calculate that I've had close to 5,000 cases, but I'm not a serial killer. I know what I'm doing, and I don't regret it. My patients include poor women, as well as rich, foreigners, girlfriends of politicians, policemen, and priests. My fees range from about $100 to about $1,500. Many don't have any money to pay. Ethically, I definitely had to take this type of decision. This is a very serious problem.
The doctor describes himself as a maverick, a Protestant in a Catholic country, a radical politically, and a man with a loose tongue, plying a trade that requires secrecy. The police know what he does.
En México, todo se puede hacer con protección. Okay?
In Mexico, everything has to be done with police protection. You understand? They wanted to extort money, and I said no. Because the moment I agreed, they would really start to bother me. Nevertheless, my brother, without my knowledge, paid the bribe. Why? So they wouldn't molest me.
But most Mexican women who decide to abort cannot afford to go to a private clinic. One way or another, they start the process. Then many end up in places like this, a Social Security maternity hospital. Dr. Noemi Ehrenfeld works in a government hospital in Mexico City. She has recently been analyzing cases of women who come to the hospital with abortions already underway. Ehrenfeld says that under Mexico's law, doctors must treat women who come with an abortion in progress. But beginning an abortion is still a crime. And if a woman comes to the hospital with what appears to be an induced abortion, as opposed to a spontaneous miscarriage, Ehrenfeld says the doctor is supposed to call the police.
Which is absolutely stupid because you don't. Not only you have a woman at high risk, but once you cure the high risk and you healed all the physical condition, immediately she walks to the jail. Physicians in general don't call the police.
Dr. José David Ortiz is a gynecologist with Mexico's health ministry in the northern industrial city, Monterrey. He often treats women who arrive at the public hospital with an abortion in progress. Ortiz is part of an international organization which is teaching doctors and nurses to use manual vacuum aspirators to finish abortions started outside the hospital. This is one of the safest, fastest, and most inexpensive methods for completing incomplete abortions.
Some of them come with septic abortions, and so this technique is very good for any of those cases. And if we improve the use of family planning methods, then we break the circle of unwanted pregnancy, no family planning, and another unwanted pregnancy, and then again an abortion. So. And one of those times, maybe the patient will die. So we try to break that cycle.
Vacuum aspirator techniques can easily be used to initiate as well as finish abortions. Ortiz says that many hospital administrators do not want their doctors to learn this method out of fear that they will perform abortions in their private practice. It is not just violating the law that worries health professionals. Mexico has a militant right-to-life movement. It is called Provida. Provida publicly denounces clinics and doctors suspected of doing abortions and passes out gruesome photos of dead fetuses. It maintains ties with anti-abortion crusaders in the U.S.
Bueno. Sí, sí. Muy bien, ¿y usted?
Dr. Jaime Avina is an eye doctor and a founding member of Provida.
Yo creo que el concepto de aborto legal es similar al de asesinato legal.
I believe that the concept of legal abortion is similar to the concept of legal assassination. The problem is the life of the fetus, the child. The woman is in a condition to defend her life. The child, no. It's totally without defense.
Provida militants are not as violent as some members of the Right to Life movement in the U.S., but they have succeeded in intimidating the medical profession. A doctor singled out by Provida is socially and professionally ostracized. Avina denies that abortions are a serious problem. He disputes the Guttmacher Institute findings that 500,000 Mexican women have abortions every year.
No, y los que están a favor lo magnifican.
It's a very militant, very active minority that is against the right to life. They shout a lot, but the majority of people in Mexico are Catholics. They defend life. They know abortion is condemned by the church and they can be excommunicated.
On a Sunday morning in Mexico City's enormous stone cathedral, a green-robed priest instructs his working-class parishioners to pray for peace, liberty, and more children.
El Señor esté con vosotros. Levantemos el corazón.
This is a scene that plays out across Mexico every Sunday. And it's a message that comes straight from the Archdiocese. Father Jorge Palencia sits in a quiet, high-rise office. A large cross hangs on the wall. Father Palencia is a Harvard-trained physician and head of the Mexican Archdiocese Health Committee. He says the women he counsels want to have more children.
The real truth that I find, and that's in my pastoral work, infertility is it's the problem. I think abortion has been used as a mask for many, many anti-values.
Father Palencia says that most women are talked into having abortions.
Most abortions that come to be are not because of the decisions of the women. Sometimes it's imposed by a doctor, or sometimes it's induced by the mother of the woman. Well, any good Catholic knows it's a mortal sin. But beyond that, it's a murder.
Esta sociedad me quiere atrapar. No me pienso dejar, me voy a escapar. Y yo que antes me dejaba, y es que antes yo babeaba. Pero mírame a los ojos, si escucha, no estás sordo. Ya no.
If abortion in Mexico is underground, talking openly about it is becoming a little less taboo. There's starting to be a public dialogue in a few places, like this weekly radio program on the government-run educational station. For 20 years, the Mexican government has aggressively promoted family planning and contraceptives, and equally aggressively opposed abortion. Now the abortion debate is getting thrown into higher relief.
Hemos preparado un reportaje sobre la situación del aborto en México.
A group of technicians turns dials, plugs in cords, and signals commands to the women in the broadcast studio. Every Monday from 11 to 12, the women's health organization, CEPAM, puts on its live radio program. They mix interviews, music, drama, and women's news with telephone questions from their audience. Most callers are women, either housewives or professionals. Some are men, and sometimes the calls are hostile. Abortion is one of the most controversial topics they have tackled. Lourdes Acevedo writes many of the programs.
Hay mujeres que llaman diciendo que les parece interesante el enfoque que manejamos.
There have been women who called who are interested in how to handle an abortion. There are all types of reactions. We try to put forward the point of view of the woman, of health, and the rights of women.
Recent public opinion surveys by the Gallup Organization have found that 80 to 90% of Mexicans believe that the woman or the couple alone should be allowed to decide whether or not to have an abortion. They don't think the church or the government should interfere. But when asked directly if abortion should be legalized, a majority of Mexicans, about 65%, said no. These two answers are obviously contradictory, and they reflect the views of the church and the society that abortion is sinful and that its legalization will lead to more promiscuity. In the darkened room of an adobe house in the small village of Orduña de Arriba, two dozen mothers, grandmothers, teenage girls, and children see a video about the abortion debate. Their reactions confirm the findings in the Gallup polls. The village women unanimously agree they do not believe abortion should be legalized.
No, entonces al irme al aborto clandestino, si saben que es un aborto clandestino, ¿verdad?
But they say even more strongly that ultimately the woman or the couple should decide whether or not to have an abortion. One young woman says, it shouldn't be the decision of my parents or my boyfriend. It's my decision. The discussion is led by three young women from a private nonprofit organization called CASA. CASA works in the state of Guanajuato, one of the poorest in Mexico. CASA specializes in peer counseling, young single mothers teaching other women about sex education, contraceptive methods, and child care. They help each other avoid unwanted pregnancies. But Irma Salas, who is a director, says still many women come seeking abortions.
Here in CASA, when women solicit abortions or women arrive with abortions in progress, young girls as well as older women, the doctor receives them. Here in CASA, we don't have permission to give any kind of abortion. So the doctor gives his medical opinion and then channels them to me. I'm a social worker, so we discuss other areas, their feelings, their emotions. If she still wants an abortion, then we tell her that she must look for a place where she can go without risk to her health.
At its headquarters in the colonial town of San Miguel de Allende, CASA provides medical, dental, family planning, and daycare services. CASA walks a tightrope in its efforts to reduce unwanted pregnancies. It does not promote or provide abortions. Even so, Salas says, CASA fears reprisals from the government, local press, groups like Pro Vida, and especially the Catholic Church.
Here in San Miguel, abortion is a very hidden and difficult topic. It's constantly being attacked by religious groups, by civic groups. And there are roundtable discussions. They invite doctors, priests, young people. It's criticized a lot here in San Miguel, and it's difficult to know how to handle it.
Nearly every week, religious processions wind through San Miguel's cobblestone streets. And inside a 300-year-old church, a priest regularly assembles the town's young people and denounces CASA.
Este instituto, CASA.
This institution uses various methods in its teachings which are not in keeping with the Catholic Church. It is promoting all types of contraceptives, masturbation, and abortions. The people here are 90% Catholic. CASA is offending our values, our traditions. We have witnesses who say that CASA has provided clandestine abortions. The Catholic Church is always pro-life. No one has the authority to take life. Abortion is against the Church, the Bible.
But messages such as this are alienating many young Mexicans from the church. Health experts say that abortion is so widespread that nearly everyone in Mexico knows someone who has decided to terminate a pregnancy. As one study put it, millions of Mexican women are forced to make the cruel choice between an unsafe abortion and an unwanted birth. And for women who decide to have an abortion, there is then the day-to-day problem of learning to live with it. For instance, the young receptionist Laura recounts that 2 years after her abortion, she finally decided to confide in a priest. She hoped for understanding. She came away feeling even more alienated.
Y le dije lo que había pasado y me dijo, ¿y estás arrepentida?
I told him what had happened, and he asked me if I was repentant. I said, it isn't something that I can repent. It's something I must accept. He told me that the church couldn't help me if I could not repent. He said, if I wanted to reconcile with God, to return to the church, I had to repent. Sometimes I go to church with my family, like all families in Mexico, but I'm not going to look for this type of pardon from the church.
Underground Abortions in Mexico was produced by Martha Honey. If you'd like to find out more about this topic over the internet, send us email, write soundprint@american.edu, and include the words Mexican abortions in your subject field. Will send you an automatic response. Soundprint is produced by the Soundprint Media Center in association with WAMU at the American University. Today's program is funded in part by the Soundprint Program Fund. Additional support comes from this and other NPR member stations, and the NPR Information Fund, whose contributors include the George Gund Foundation. Write us with your ideas, your comments. Write us at Soundprint, 4000 Brandywine Street, Northwest, Suite 620, Washington, D.C., 20016. Cassettes are $12.50, and if you'd like to order a cassette with a credit card, you can call us at 202-885-1285. That's 202-885-1285. Our email address is soundprint@american.edu. Join us next week on Soundprint for the story of a woman who is also many different women.
I'd like to talk a little bit about my village, and that's what I call all of us. All of us that live within me. We're isolated. We're our own tribe. I don't really know how to explain to you how it feels to have others living inside of me. It's always noisy. That's one thing.
Beth's Village, a portrait of multiple personality disorder, next week on Soundprint. Soundprint is technical director Anna Maria De Freitas, studio engineer Robin Wise, production assistant Francesca Raymond. Our executive producer is Moira Rankin. I'm Larry Massey. This is NPR, National Public Radio.